on is Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 22-25. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Some translations say a great calm. But he said to them, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying one to another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, they obey him." Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the scripture. Thank you for the songs that we're singing about calming the winds and the waves and how you have mastery over your creation. And we pray that a few basic principles that we'll bring out this morning would be encouragement and challenge to us, that we leave here and appreciate you more, learn more about you. And please guide us and help us as decisions that we make this week and even today, those of us who have to make really important decisions, that you would guide and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I think everything is done for a reason. Everything in Scripture is given to us by inspiration of God and is profitable in everything we read. And this incident might have happened many times, but this incident, I think God puts it in here to teach us more about ourselves and more about himself. I think this morning we can learn more about God through this passage. And that's our focus. And hopefully we can encourage us. So, and it'd be more in a devotional format. I don't expect to go too long this morning, but, and nothing here is groundbreaking either, but it's good to be reminded of some basics. First of all, God is always near us. God is always near us when we call. Like the disciples, many times the amount of time we spend looking for God depends on our circumstances. There are times in life where things are going well and there are no major difficulties or trials in our lives. And we look at our life and say, "Oh, we know how to get from point A to point B. We got it. We don't need Jesus Christ. We don't need him." I mean, we need him to save us from sins, but to help us, to give us grace and strength. We got it on ourselves. We don't need to go to him and ask for that. We got it. You think of what the disciples did. I know Jesus was in a physical body. I know he was very tired. But you almost think the disciples allowed him to fall asleep. The disciples could have been like Mary did, constantly at the feet of Jesus, learning about Jesus. But I get from this passage that they forsook him in a way. They allowed him to fall asleep. They were more like Martha, getting the tasks done, focusing to get to the other side, rather than Mary, who sat by the feet of Jesus listening to him. And so Jesus fell asleep. And it's pretty easy. I mean, the disciples, many of them were, what were they before Jesus called them? They were fishermen, weren't they? A great number of them are fishermen. In other words, they were skilled seamen, skilled sailors. They were doing what they were doing before Jesus came. I'm not mean to say that they were backslidden in any way, that they were doing what they did before Jesus came, but there were things that were easy to them, things that they were sailing the seas. They had been around the Sea of Galilee, you think, hundreds of times gathering fish. Presumably, they knew what they were doing. And so they let Jesus fall asleep. They had to get up to the other side. That was their goal, and they knew how to get there. And many times, as I said before, there are easy seasons for us. There's really no pressure to stay close to Christ. Jesus tends to be put on the back burner, where other things become more important. The disciples went back to what they thought they knew best. And the question for us is, how often do we let Jesus fall asleep in our lives and take a back seat in our lives? You think of, you don't have to turn there, but you think of the passage in Luke chapter 18 where God said there was a widow and a judge, and the widow kept hounding the judge, saying, please avenge me. I could read it, but she said, "Get justice for me for my adversary." She kept going to the judge. And the judge finally said, "Okay, I'll do what you say, because you keep nagging me, I will do what you say." And it was God's lesson that if you if you want something hard enough, you will ask God hard enough, and God will answer you. And there's the theology behind that. God answers in prayer in a way. But we must pester Jesus in our daily lives. We must go to Him. We must wear Him out with our requests and our needs. And unfortunately, the disciples were not doing that. When life gets hard, we must run to Him. We sing of the song, "I Run to Christ." And that's a great song to sing. We run to Christ when life is difficult, when life is hard. But we should also run to Christ when life is easy. And it's a good reminder to those of us, when life gets easy, we should also run to Christ. The storm fell. All of a sudden the storm fell. And as Tom remarked, the storms can fall so quickly on the Sea of Galilee. On one afternoon, it can be one morning, it can be really nice and flat. And all of a sudden the gale will just pop in and immediately, like very, very quickly, it can get really, really bad. And the storms hit the disciples, and they ran and woke Jesus up. The trials hit, and they clung to Jesus. Times like this are when we really need Jesus, when the trials hit. And all the while, God is always near us. My point here is that God is always near us. He's always, God hasn't changed. We have. Sometimes we can change. We can slide away from God, but God's always there. We just return right back to where we left God, and God's always there for us. If we return to the Lord, He will return to us, as Zechariah 1:3 says. We must remain close to Christ. And what's the reason we do this? Well, we know that Jesus Christ answers prayer. He promises to answer prayer, and that's my second point this morning. Jesus always answers our sincere prayer. He is always there. His disciples woke Him and begged Him to save their lives. "Master, Master, we perish." They were seasoned seamen. They knew what they were doing, but they were scared for their lives in a way that maybe had never been before. But we know that they were, even though they were experienced seamen, they had handled a storm or two in the past. But they were scared for their lives this time. They were completely scared for their lives. Again, the word master is used twice for emphasis. Master, Master, to get His attention. We perish. Have you ever been fearful for your life? I'm sure many of us have times where we've been not sure if we would have made it, some more than others. There's one point in life that I remember. It was really tight. This was maybe 10 years ago. I was, 15 years ago, what, 2010. 15 years ago, wow. We were on a mission trip out west, and it was a construction team, hands-on construction team, and we were leaving Greenville, South Carolina, and going west, about a dozen of us in this van with a small little trailer, and we were driving out. And our first night, we were at Western Kentucky, and we were stopping for the night, and there was the chance that the storm, because many times the storms will out there, there was a high likelihood of tornadoes that would come. And so we were keeping the weather on, and we stopped for dinner. And after dinner, we get back into the truck and we hear the sirens go off. It's the first time I've heard a tornado siren, which means there's a tornado that's hit the ground. And we were looking around and the winds are really picking up, and we were wondering where should we go? Well, we had the hotel booked, 10 minutes away. We weren't sure if we could get there. So we said, where's the best place? Well, we were driving. We left the parking lot. We were driving and we said, we better get underneath an overpass. We heard that if you're in a car, the best place to be during a tornado is in an overpass. It's under an overpass. So there was one right there. The Lord provided a sort of a parking lot underneath the overpass. There we parked. And man, it got dark and the trash was blowing across the parking lot. Like, it was insane. Green lightning. Have you all seen green lightning before? Like, it was bad. And of course, Bobby being Bobby did notice that adjacent to the parking lot, there was a Paducah and Louisville Railway. And so I was watching and seeing maybe a train would come and stuff. And Dan, one of the members, I shouldn't mention his name, but y'all don't tell Dan if you see him, but Dan was, so what will a tornado sound like if it comes? And our team leader, Mr. Mark Beam, he said, well, it will sound like a train engine. Sound like a train engine. That's what they say. It sounds like a big rumble of a train if a tornado comes. And guess what? 5 minutes later, I look, Paducah and Louisville Railway ballast train. And Dan didn't see the train. He was upset. He thought the tornado was coming. The train was approaching and he was just freaking out really badly. And it was sort of funny, but sort of, we were all really worried. We didn't know where this tornado would come. It did touch down a couple miles from us, but it thankfully subsided after a period of maybe 10-15 minutes or so. But, you know, we weren't scared of imminent death, but we were really concerned what would happen if a tornado came. And thankfully, God protected us. And as the first night of that mission trip, I thought this is going to be a long mission trip if this is what happens. But anyway, that's just one sort of humorous example of how you can be scared to death and you turn to the Lord. These disciples here in the boat were scared to death. And so they didn't leave Jesus asleep. They went to him, "Master, Master, we perish." He stood up, and of course we know the passage says he stood up and he said, he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. You know, he's the creator of all, and I'll speak a little later about his power. But he had power over creation and over everything. He stood up and he said, "Peace, be still." And just speaking, he spoke those winds and those waves into existence. And just by speaking, he allowed the weather to calm down and the storm subsided. Just by him speaking, he answered their prayers. So this is the same God that we pray to on a day by day basis. The God who can solve, you know, we don't see miracles like that many times. We don't see miracles like that. But it's the same God we pray to. The same God is powerful that can perform invisible miracles in our life. And if we recognize that and we recognize his power, not over creation, but over the influences and the circumstances in our life, we can pray to him. And he is the same God with the same power. And that should be an encouragement to us. He will answer our prayer in the way that he knows best. It won't necessarily be the way that we want. God may calm our storm. He may allow it to continue for a season. But we know for sure that God loves us. And this is very clear. We spent this morning thinking about and meditating and remembering God's love for us this morning. He sent his only son to die for us. That's how much he loves us. He knows our future. He knows the end from the beginning. A couple weeks ago, I spoke on time. He knows what's going to happen. He knows the end from the beginning, and we don't. He is outside time. He promised he will do the best thing for us. Those of us who can look at our past, can look at our past history, and seeing how God has protected us and helped us so many ways in the past, and we know that the same God will help us in our present time of trial. We know that he will work everything out for good, even though it's not easy. But God is good. He is the only one who is worthy of our complete confidence and trust. So, first of all, God is always near. God always answers prayer. And number three, and finally, God is worthy of our trust. He is the only one who is completely worthy of our trust. He asked the disciples, "Where is your trust? Where is your trust?" You can think of this in a couple of ways. Where did your trust go? Why didn't you trust me? You should have trusted me more. Where is your trust? Don't you know I'm not going to let you perish? Don't you know? Why don't you trust me? On the other hand, you can think of him, where is your trust? If your trust is not in me, where is your trust in? If you have trust, if you have faith, is your faith in something else other than God? What is faith? Well, I interchange the word trust and the word faith, but they're really very close. To have faith is to trust and have confidence that something is true and that something will come through for you. That's maybe not the dictionary, but that's my interpretation of the word faith, is your trust and confidence. If we have faith in Jesus Christ, we have confidence in him and we trust him that he has saved us. Every time you sit in a chair, all of you are sitting in a pew. You have trust in that pew to hold you up. It's just expected that pew has hold you up. It has in the past, and it probably will. Some of these are getting a little old, but it'll hold you up. You get in an elevator. I know elevator's a little bit more, but you trust the elevator to take you to the floor and not to let you get hurt. Your vehicle. The vehicle is even probably a little less trustworthy, some of us more than others. We've had our share of car difficulties, but you trust your car to get you from point A to point B, and that's an example of placing your trust in your car, or placing your trust in an elevator, or even this chair. But things will let you down. Things will decay. and weakens. There was a great big bridge outside Baltimore that was big and massive, one of the biggest bridges. I don't know the stats on it. Huge bridge. Everyone trusted it for years and years. Hundreds, thousands, millions of people across it. All it took was one bridge, one boat to strike it at just the right place, and it fell down. 10 seconds, it was completely leveled. And something like a big, massive structure that is, you know, think of the Titanic. People thought the Titanic, people trusted the Titanic would not sink. They didn't even have enough lifeboats for everybody. That's how much trust they put in the Titanic. Well, of course, it struck an iceberg and it fell. My point is that you put your trust in these big bridges, these big boats that to our eyes are too big to fail, but they're really not. And we see example and more examples you can find of big things that are too big to fail, destroyed in a matter of seconds. Things will let you down. People will let you down, even those we love most dear. Even our loved ones, our spouses, and we have some really true godly people, don't get me wrong, but people are as good as people can be in this world, and nobody's perfect, and people will let you down. And we have to realize that. Politicians, tomorrow we're recognizing a new group of leadership coming into the country, and we speaking for myself, I trust that this will be that things will improve, but they will only improve as far as the people will let them improve. I'm not going to go on a rant about that, but I know my point is that politicians, even the ones that we sort of have trust in, will let you down. And regardless of who it is, if you like the person or you don't like the person, they'll let you down, politicians. And as an aside, we need to pray. We need to pray for these people. I understand Canada might be getting new leadership in the coming months. We pray for Canada's leadership as well. We have Canadians here, so we need to pray for these people, pray for these leaders. So things will let you down. People will let you down. But only one person will never let us down, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I'm thankful I have a great brother here I can rely on, trust. He's been an amazing brother. But there's a friend who sticks even closer than a brother, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. His almighty power is unmatched. Anything he says will go. Psalm 2, a commonly read psalm, he laughs at the nations. He looks at the nations as a drop in the bucket. And he will let a nation rise up and fall. We've read those verses before, and we already talked about his power, how powerful he is. My point is that he is the one who we should put our faith and trust in, and nobody else. You put your trust in an object, put your faith and trust in a human being, they'll let you down. But you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That the disciples should have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ instead of their own skill as seamen, and they would That's how they would be saved. And just think about his power. His power. He's such a powerful creator that he was able to calm the seas. He's able to calm the Sea of Galilee. But he's also our Savior. He not only saved our physical bodies, but he saved our souls, didn't he? He's powerful enough to save us from sin. What an amazing thought that is. We can't understand it. He saved the dying thief on the cross. The thief on the cross had rejected Jesus, rebelled against Jesus his whole life, and literally his last few minutes of life, he spoke a few words, and God completely healed his soul, and he's in paradise with Jesus Christ right now. That's the power of Jesus Christ, the power to save a wicked man so quickly. And that God who has power over creation, power over our to save our souls, he's the one who we should put our trust in. So the object of our trust, and also just continue to exercise that trust more and more and lean on him more and more. So in conclusion, aren't we thankful to have a God like that? He is present when we come seeking him in distress. He answers our prayer, and he's worthy of all our trust and confidence. Truly the disciples were afraid and marveled, and they said, "Who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him?" And that's our reaction after looking at Jesus Christ is, who in the world is this? Someone we don't know, but someone who we can know. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Verse behind me. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I'll ask Colin if he can come up and we'll sing a song to close. I thought I would read the words, but we'll sing them. Why not sing them? We have time. So number 528, I like to guide your attention to one verse. Be still, my soul. Your God does undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Your hope, your confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious will be bright at last. Be still, my soul. The waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he lived below. So.
Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on when we shall be forever with the Lord. Grief and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past, all safe and blessed we shall meet at last.
Great singing. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can pray to a God who loves us, one we can trust in, put our faith in, and know he will never change. Pray that these thoughts would comfort us, challenge us as we go our separate ways. Pray that you would guide us and protect us until we once again meet again. And pray for those who couldn't be with us, their health, their traveling. Just keep them safe and bring them back to us safely. In your precious name, amen.